The Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles were all set to visit the White House this week, even though a number of the team's players were not enthusiastic about meeting President Trump. So the Eagles' invitation was rescinded, highlighting the president's criticism of players who he says don't respect members of the U.S. military, thanks to last season's protests that included some situations of kneeling during the national anthem. It's not the first time players have found other things to do instead of going to the White House, but the issue has been magnified in the Trump White House. And to talk more about it, I'm joined by Cindy Boren via Skype. She's a sports reporter for The Washington Post. Cindy, how much of this illustrates a continuation of President Trump's general battle with the NFL?
I think it's rooted right there. I think you've hit it right straight on the head. The president, a year ago almost now, managed to sort of seize the narrative, and he managed to convert the message from one of trying to raise awareness about social injustice and police brutality and kind of converted it to a message of it's anti-military, anti-American. And it worked very well. You know, I mean, the message got across, and players and the owners met last year to try to determine what they could do to, you know, to pull the message back on target. I'm not sure they've succeeded in doing that just yet. Most recently, you know, the owners kind of caved to the president and decided that, you know, they were going to tell players that they had to be on, if they were on the field, they had to stand, or, you know, they could just stay in the locker room.
Is it possible that if the NFL had decided not to do anything, the level of the protest might have lessened a little bit, but now that the NFL has announced a policy, it's upset the players, and then the president can also almost claim victory in some sense?
Yeah, you know, the irony about this is that at the end of last season, as the season wound down in December, there were fewer and fewer players kneeling because there had been a summit meeting between owners and players, and there'd been a commitment of tens of millions of dollars for community action, you know, actually taking steps to heal communities. And, you know, people weren't talking about it. It sort of died down during the playoffs. It died down during the Super Bowl. And the owners are the ones who resurrected the story. They had decided during their meeting that they were going to take action, you know, and come up with some sort of a policy on something that didn't really seem to need a policy, frankly. It's going to boil up again, it seems to me, when the season starts. I'd be stunned if it doesn't. I don't know how you diffuse this now.
Cindy, let me ask you another question or two related to White House visits. I don't know how long these have been politicized, but certainly it's not brand new. I mean, I recall Tom Brady, at least for one of the Patriots visits, didn't want to come when President Obama was in office. What do you make of how politicized that has become? Because it used to be just sort of a happy-go-lucky photo op, really.
Yeah, it really was. As far as I can remember, this really sort of started during the George W. Bush administration. There were players who didn't want to show up. As you mentioned, there were players. One of the members of the Boston Bruins didn't want to come to the Obama White House. You know, it does seem to have really boiled up since the last election. Both the Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers playing in the NBA Finals again. Both LeBron James and Steph Curry said they will not show up. They will not go to the White House. The teams are not going to go. It mirrors society. You know, it's something that's been building. It's a divisiveness that's been building since really 2000, I think.
Certainly the players, the coaches have every right to have the views that they have and express them to reporters or on Twitter, whatever they want to do. But I mean, in any way, does it take away from this idea that some might just want to say, wow, you know, I grew up in a certain situation. I never thought I'd have a chance to go to the White House, and I'd kind of like to do that. Or are we to the point where really, because of the polarization related to George W. Bush or President Obama or now President Trump to even a greater extent, is this really the way that people can send a message?
It is unfortunate that you're not visiting the person who occupies the White House. You're visiting the White House. It's a statement about the country. It's not necessarily a statement about the president. But unfortunately, almost everything, especially with this president, does seem to become politicized. I don't really see much changing. There have been a half dozen or so teams that have come to the White House during the Trump presidency, and there haven't been any problems. You know, the ceremony is really just sort of quickly over. You know, you stand there for a photo opportunity with the president. You hand him a personalized jersey with his name on it. He makes a couple of lame jokes, no matter who the president is, Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, it's over very quickly.
Cindy, there have been so many comparisons between 2018 or 2016-ish and 1968. And one of those that comes up is
how a lot of political statements were made by athletes, many of them African-American, in the late 1960s. Are we kind of returning to that, at least temporarily, where athletes are becoming more involved in politics? Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, for example, were kind of criticized for being great champions and not really being willing to step out. But we're seeing some differences there. You mentioned Steph Curry, LeBron James. Could we see more of that going forward?
I think it's a change. I think it's something that's, you know, for the foreseeable future is going to remain in place. I think athletes are, you know, they're not going to stick to sports, to resurrect that cliche. I think they became aware of that and the power of their voices, especially when, for instance, when Muhammad Ali died and people were reminded, you know, of the summit that he and Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and other athletes held, Jim Brown held in the 1960s to raise awareness of civil rights issues and other problems in the cities. And you will recall that when the whole Donald Sterling story broke, the NBA forced out an owner because the players were ready to go on strike over that. They were ready to say, you know what, we're not going to play. He was forced to sell the Clippers over, you know, the racist comments that he'd made. I think once you've seen the power and the persuasiveness that you can have, I'm not sure how you put that down and walk away from it.
Cindy Bourne is a Washington Post sports reporter. And Cindy, thanks so much for the time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.